From the book of Luke tonight, chapter 13, beginning at verse 22. Verse 22, chapter 13. Amen. Praise the Lord. And he went through the cities and villages teaching and journeying toward Jerusalem. Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, strive to enter in at the strait gate, for many, I say, unto you will seek to enter in and shall not be able. Amen. Notice this tonight. Jesus said, I'm going to tell you something. Amen. Many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. Amen. I'd like to preach to you tonight about this among the many. Among the many. Amen. The dictionary said many is a large, indefinite number, but it seems to tend to amount to a whole lot. Just many. Many. Amen. But here is a great multitude. Amen. Jesus said many. Amen. Who are wanting to enter into heaven. Come on, church. Come on. We've got a huge multitude that's wanting to go, that is seeking to go, but Jesus said to them, they shall not be able. I don't know about you, but that little Indian raised up in me and said, why can't they? If they want to go. Come on, church. Have I read in the Word of God that is for whosoever will? Let him come and drink of the water of life freely. Haven't I read that in the Word of God? I sure have. Come on, church. But here is a multitude, many, who are seeking to enter in, but are not going to be able to. For some reason. Amen. Although they had the desire, they can't. Amen. And you know what really disturbs me? These people, these folks, amen, are not folks that do not know about this way. Come on, church. They do know. And they have seen the Spirit move. And they seen the Spirit work. And Brother Rocky, they've been a part of it. Come on now. Come on now. Amen. Jesus said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Listen, many, here we are again, many will say unto me that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? Jesus said, and I will profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Amen. These folks are not strangers to the house of God. Come on now. Amen. They're there. And they had a part with the church. They told Jesus, amen, that they had cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works, and they had prophesied or preached. Sound like to me that some miracle workers, quote unquote, and preachers, quote unquote, are not going to get to go. Why? Amen. Oh, and Jesus didn't refute their claim. He didn't say, you bunch of liars. All he said to them was, I never knew you. I never knew you. And when I read that, I said, whoa, Lord. You said you know the very number of the hairs on our head. How could you tell somebody you never knew them? You know what the Lord told me to do? He said, look it up in the dictionary. I'm glad Ralph bought me that dictionary. I really am. Amen. So I looked the word new up, Brother Gerald. And the word new in its archaic or original meaning, and I had to look archaic up to find out what that was. Amen. You know how it is with us Indians when it's in your white folks' language, you know. Amen. And the word new in its original meaning is approved. Jesus is saying to them, I never approved of you. But Lord, we cast out devils. I never did approve of you. We prophesied in your name. I never did approve of you. We done many wonderful works in your name. I never did approve of you. And I said, oh Lord, have mercy. Amen. Without a doubt, they had a desire to go. And they was in church and they took part what was going on. And all Jesus could say, despite everything they had done, was, I don't approve of you. Well, that kind of shook me up. I mean, sweet Lamb of God, if I'd been casting out devils, hear me now, if I'd been preaching, huh? And I'd done many wonderful works in the name of the Lord, Gerald and I got there and he said, I don't approve you. I'd be wondering what else I could do to be approved. So, I thought, Lord, what am I going to do here? Amen. What put them apart to be where Jesus would call them many? And the Lord spoke to me and said, the Word of God will tell you exactly who the many are and why they were not approved. I didn't know the Bible would do that. I didn't know that. Come on, church, you're looking at me funny tonight. You probably got it all figured out. You know all about it. Well, just let this Cherokee preach to itself. It don't bother me. I've done that before too. Amen. Amen. So I began to look through the Word of God and study the Bible, and I found out that the Bible does. It tells us exactly who is numbered among the many and why they're there. The Bible said, for there were many. In the congregation, yes, in the congregation, that were not sanctified. Hello? 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 Come on now. For the multitude, the Ephraimites and the man of Manasseh and Issachar and Zebulun had not cleansed themselves. They were in the congregation. But they had not sanctified themselves. Do you feel the fire burning close? Among that group called many, amen, will be those that have failed, amen, to cleanse themselves or to sanctify themselves from this world, its fads and its passions. Amen, Brother Leon. Come on, church. You know, folks who cling to worldliness, refuse to separate themselves from the world. Come on. Come on. Come on. They're in the house of God. They're there when the Spirit moves. They're there when it works. Amen. They're among the crowd. They're right there. They think they're a part of it, but they're still holding on to the world. And he said they'll be numbered among the many who are seeking to enter it and cannot, because Jesus will never approve of anybody who has not sanctified themselves from this world. You cannot go to God. among the many will be those who fail to sanctify themselves. I'll tell you something else. It ain't just the fads and the fashions of the world that we see folks that have failed to sanctify themselves. Do you know what the Bible says in the second book of Thessalonians? He said, "For from the beginning, God has chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and of the and belief of the truth." You're going to have a sanctified spirit if you go. Come here, Rocky. You and I don't agree on... All right, we don't believe on oh Lord, help the sanctification. You know, one of us goes one way and the other. So, I ain't going to have nothing to do with you because you don't see it like I do. Well, don't be surprised that Jesus says, "I don't prove you. I never did know you. I never did know you. You had such a bad spirit about you." Amen. Everybody that didn't like what you liked, you just crossed them off the list. Hello? Disfellowshipped and blackballed them. Hello? Are you out there? Amen. Sweet Lamb of God. You can't go to heaven with an unsanctified spirit. Did the Bible say, "Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing and I will receive you." Is that what the Bible said? The Bible said, "Wherefore, having these promises, dearly beloved, let us..." Wait a minute. Let who? Let who? 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 Wait a minute now. You mean I got to do this for myself? That's what he said. "Let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and of the spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God." If you want God to know you, if you want Him to approve of you, you better sanctify yourself, because He said among the congregation were those that had not sanctified themselves, spirit, body, and soul, and everything else way you can be sanctified. Come on here, church. Amen. My God in heaven, if you want Jesus to approve of you, you better clean your act up. God help me. Last night, ain't you glad? Folks, we're going to have to do it. You're going to have to take a hold of yourself and make yourself quit. You know the hardest thing for a buzzard to do is to eat crow. I've had to do it a time or two. Gerald, I've had to do that a time or two. I've had to go eat crow, and it's hard doing. I found that it's better to stay away from them situations if you can. Hello? Hello? I mean, sweet Lamb of God. Amen. Don't lose me here. Don't let me lose you here tonight. But I'm telling you, among the congregation, there are many who have not sanctified themselves, have yet to sanctify themselves. They claim to have the Holy Ghost. They shout and dance if the Spirit gets high enough. But that ain't going to get it. Amen. Among the many will be those church folks who are waiting for God to come and make them live holiness. It ain't going to happen. I said it ain't. If you're waiting for God to come down there and get a hold of you by the nap of the neck and make you do right, forget it, because He ain't coming. If you don't have enough gumption about yourself, hey man, to cleanse yourself from this world and separate yourself from the world, then you can go to hell with the world. Come on, church. I don't mean to sound ornery tonight. I really don't. Hey man, but I don't want to be among the many, and I don't want you to be among the many. I don't want Jesus to look at the church and say, I never approved of you. I never knew you. And then they'll be among many. How sad. All right, let's go on. Amen. But thou, Daniel, set up the word and seal the book even to the time of the end. Many, here we are again, many shall run to and fro. Knowledge shall be increased. Amen. Do you hear that? Many shall run to and fro. Among the many will be those folks with what I call a grasshopper spirit. Now you're getting quiet on me again, ain't you? Amen. Y'all know what a grasshopper is. I mean, a spiritual grasshopper. You know what they are, don't you? Well, that's the one that Sister Jerry, when God's blessing, you know, and everybody's shouting and dancing and running, they're right smack dab in the big middle of it. I mean, they're there. But when He don't bless, of course, that may not ever happen in this church, but in Oklahoma it happens quite often. We come through them dry spells, and the grasshopper always gets up and goes down the road. Because they're blessing down there. Come on. Come on. Come on, church. Did you know, hey man, that the Bible said it is required of a steward that he be faithful? Huh? I'm going to tell you something. If every time the church gets in trouble, hey man, if you're like Ephraim being armed and bold, hey man, and you don't do a thing, hey man, he ain't going to prove you. Come on now. Come on now. I don't believe you ought to run off every time something happens you don't like in the house of God. Huh? Come on, church. But we got them. I said we got them. Amen. Among the many are them grasshoppers. Amen. They'll shout with you when you're shouting. They'll dance with you when you're dancing. They'll run with you when you're running. They'll sing and be happy when you're happy. But oh, when the devil raises up in the house of God and the pastor needs help and somebody else needs help, you won't find them anywhere in the house of God. They've gone elsewhere because, amen, they're like the man that went down to Moab, amen. A little famine in the church and sweet Lamb of God, they're gone. Away, 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 they're gone. Time to take a stand for God. You won't see them anywhere standing. The Bible said when you've done all, stand. Stand. I'd hate to think that the devil or anybody else could run me out of the house of God. I must be ringing your doorbell. You're not answering the door. Come on, church. I like Brother Lester Moore's attitude. He said one night he's preaching the meeting. He didn't tell me where. Hey, man, but he said he's preaching the meeting, and this woman got up and got to dancing. I mean, she was really cutting the rug. Hey, man, Lester said, I just stepped out in front of her and matched her step for step. Hey, man. Round and around they went. I mean, up and down, across and back, forward and backwards. Said she danced and I danced. She looked me in the eye and I looked her right in the eye and danced right with her. Amen. Woo! Amen. Pretty soon he said she began to break out in the sweat. He said, I knew she's going down pretty soon. Amen. Pretty soon she fagged out. Amen. Went over and sat down and started panting. He said, I just danced on for another 10 or 15 minutes. Amen. Said, then I went over and sat down by the pastor, and the pastor leaned over and said, Brother Moore, did you know? And he said, he just stopped him. He said, yeah, I know she's the biggest hypocrite in church. You didn't think I was going to let her out dance me in the house of God, did you? Come on, church. Are we going to let the devil run us off at the first time that something, sweet Lamb of God. Hey. Sweet Lamb of God. You ain't a bunch of cowards, are you? Huh? Come on now. I'm talking about when the devil raises up. Did you know Jesus said He'd raise a standard up against them? Why don't you get behind the standard? Why don't you get behind Jesus? Sweet Lamb of God. here, they're kind of funny. They're different than folks are in Oklahoma. My cousin come to California. Amen. And this little Mexican boy wanted to pick a fight with him. And so he walked up to Sonny and he said something. And Sonny just hauled off and smacked him as hard as he could. He's laying on the ground. He looked at me and he said, "Hey, we ain't talked about this yet." Sonny said, "In Oklahoma, we don't talk. We just fight." Come on, church. You know the trouble with us? The reason we back down is because we get to talking to him about it. Come on, church. First time he raises his head up, we ought to raise the standard of God a little higher. Amen. Come on, don't be a grasshopper. Amen. Be a conqueror. Amen. Ain't that what happened to Israel? They got to looking at the giants. And they said, "We ain't nothing but grasshoppers." Forgot that they was conquerors, amen. You and I have got the victory in Jesus Christ, amen. Make Him back down. Make Him back off. Don't you back off. Make Him... God in heaven, help us. God in heaven, help us. Don't be among the many. Stand up for Jesus. Oh, God, help us, amen. They'll not exert themselves, amen, to fight or do anything. And they're going to be among the many. And I don't plan to be among them. You know, I've been told lots of times, if I just cool off a little bit about sin and some standards of holiness, that they could get me all the revivals that I could possibly preach. I said, "I'm already preaching all I can preach." Come on, church. Amen. Amen. Brother Carpenter, they asked me one time, they said, "What clique do you belong to?" I said, "You're looking at it. You're looking at it." Come on, church. I'm for Jesus Christ and His church. I don't care if it's in Ohio. Amen. Or if it's in the South. I remember the first time I came to Ohio, by the way. Amen. And I'm not going to tell you where I was at. Amen. But the preacher told me, said, "You can't preach holiness in Ohio like you do in Oklahoma." I said, "You can't." I said, "Why not?" He said, "Well, they just won't take it here." He said, "Is that right?" "That's right." I said, "Why don't you hide and watch?" Brother Gerald, he hid and watched, and I did. I drug a train for a week. And I was supposed to go to Brother Benny Sutherland's church and preach a youth rally on Friday night. Amen. And I told him Thursday, "I'm going home." He said, "You can't go home. You got to go to Brother Benny's." I said, "I don't got to go nowhere. I'm going home." I said, "I don't think the Lord's ever been north of the Mason-Dixon line." And he kept on talking, and I finally agreed I'd stay and preach the youth meeting. And I went upstairs and laid on my bed, and I said, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" Woo! Sweet Lamb of God, and the Spirit said, "Preach on it Friday night." Amen. Oh, Brother Dale, you remember that meeting. Amen. Sweet Lamb of God. Amen. We got up there and God got the blessing. And I said, "The Lord has come north." Amen. Praise God. Amen. I want you to know something, church. Amen. God's looking for a people that'll take a stand for Him and won't back down. Amen. And I intend to be among them. I said, I intend to be among them. Oh, God, help us. Amen. Pray, wife, I got to preach this whole message. I don't have to. I guess I can quit. Then the Bible said, "Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold." I'm persuaded that this could be the true Christians' greatest chance to be numbered among the many. Come on, church. Because of the excelling flood, exceeding, accelerating flood, amen, what word can I use? Amen. folks that do not care anymore? Huh? Come on, church. And the flood of sin that is carrying away so many in the church. It's hard to keep praying and have a burden for the lost, isn't it? I've got lost daughters. Amen. I've got two. I pray for them every day. Amen. It seems like they could care less every time I see them. It's hard to keep on. But I cannot let my love grow cold. Hard to keep praying and fasting for folks who seem to care less. Come here, you know what I'm talking about. Amen. We must be careful not to lose the love of God out of our lives. Come on now. There are a lot of people who are substituting form in the church for the love of God that once burned in their soul. Amen. And once had a burden for the lost. They don't have that anymore. Amen. Because iniquity has abound to such a place that it's hard to keep praying for people who don't care. Come on. You know it's true. I'm not telling you something you don't know and haven't felt for yourself tonight. You know that to be so. We cannot afford, amen, to have the same spirit that a couple of the disciples had at one time. Huh? Yeah. The Bible said it came to pass when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem, sent messengers before his face, and they went and entered into a village of Samaria, Samaritans, to make ready for him. And they did not receive him because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. When his disciples James and John saw this, they said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them even as Elias did? Huh? And God help us if we don't have preachers among us. If you don't agree with them on every little dot and I and cross T, you are out. In fact, I was talking to a couple of preachers about a very touchy subject. Amen. They came to me. I didn't come to them. And I backed them in a corner, and they got so mad. I said, boy, it's a good thing y'all can't call far down from heaven, or I'd be a fried buzzard right here. Come on, church. I mean, we have come to the place, amen, that if you do not... Look out, Leon. You're going to get in trouble now. You're going to get in trouble. I know it, but I've been in trouble all my life, so I just well go ahead and finish out. Amen. We've come to the place, amen, where we dast not disagree with each other on anything, lest we lose our fellowship and consume one another. Come on, church. I mean, people that have known each other for years on end, amen, no longer speak to each other, wouldn't shake hands with each other, don't love each other, and sweet Lamb of God, both of them think they're going to heaven. They ain't going to make it. They're going to be numbered among the many. Jesus will say, I never knew you. Come on, church. I mean, when He said to pray for them that despitefully use you. Huh? When He said, how many times shall I forgive my brother? 7 times. Jesus said, nay, but I send you 70 times 7. Come on, church. Y'all are getting quiet on here. Shout me down if you will. If you want to, go ahead. I'm just telling you that among the many are those whose love has waxed cold. Come on now. Come on now. Well, Jesus didn't like their attitude. The Bible said He turned and rebuked them. He said, you know not what spirit you are of. And I sometimes wonder amen, if many among us have forgot what spirit they are supposed to be of. When the Son of God, amen, was beat till he was nothing but a hunk of nothing but raw meat and blood, come here, amen, nailed to a cross and hung there and said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. How in the world are you and I going to get by without any love in our heart, one for another? Preach, Brother Leon. Come on here, church. I'm telling you, I want to go to heaven. For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And you know what Jesus did? Went to another village. He went to another village. Come on, church. You know, we all like John 3:16. But I told him the other night, Brother White, I said, I like 3:17 better than I do 16. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Ain't you glad that Jesus didn't come to condemn? For the Bible said, if thou, O Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, who shall stand? Not one of us. You know something, if God wanted to find something wrong with Leon Buzzard, He wouldn't need a magnifying glass. Am I preaching too long, Pastor? Amen. You know what? We must keep on keeping on despite the indifference, the evil, and the hostility of this world and others toward us. I had something happen to me, and I don't know how you take this, but the Lord just now spoke and said, tell them about it. And I wasn't going to. Amen. But I'm going to now. Amen. One day the phone rang, and the young lady said, is this Brother Leon? Your church, and she explained to me that she had gotten saved at Paul Marquis or Brother Lee Strickler's one. One was preaching for the other. I don't know which way it was now, but anyhow, her and this boyfriend that she was just living with had just got saved, and so they knew they couldn't live like that. And she had left a daughter in Hot Springs, Arkansas, gave her away. Amen. So she wanted to be near her so her boys could visit their sister. I'm not going to go on to all the junk. Amen. But they came. She had been married twice. He'd been married once. Amen. She came. He stayed in New York. Amen. And she came down and we found her a trailer. Amen. They began to come to church. We kept her children for her. We was doing our best. Brother Gerald, they couldn't hardly make it. She just couldn't hardly make it on a waitress and trying to raise, and so she called me, told me one day, said, I talked to Al and we're going to get married. I said, you can't do that. I said, you can't do that. You'll be living in adultery. Well, we've decided it's the Lord's will. I said, it's not the Lord's will. Come on, church. And he said, well, he'll be here next Sunday. He wants to talk to you. So here he came and I went down to the church and we talked. And I told them the best way I knew how that they could not get married. And they said, well, we want you to marry us. I said, no way in the world. I'm never going to do that. Come on, church. And they said, we want to use the church. I said, no, you can't use the church. And they said, well, we're going to get married anyway. So they did. And I thought they wouldn't come back. But Brother Lowry, they came back. They said, we want to make this our home church. Can we come to church here? Now y'all are looking at me real funny now. And I said, Jerry, I was very gracious. I said, well, this is a public building. Hello, are y'all out there? I'll be honest with you. I kept hoping they'd quit. Amen. And us homeless people know how to give the cold shoulder. I learned it in the house of God. I'm just telling you what happened to me, okay? So I'm at the church. I'm praying for my church. When I'm pastoring, I go to church every day and I call every name in the church out to God. When I'm pastoring. I never did have 50 people or 60 people. when you got 120 or so, I don't know if I can do that or not. But anyway, I was, and when I'd come to their names, because they'd come to church, Brother Gerald, in my mind, you know us homeless people, we got our place in the church, and I'd just run my mind down there, down each pew, and I'd know who said where. Isn't that right, Pastor? If somebody ain't in his seat, you know he ain't here tonight. And when I'd come to them, I'd just kind of say, well, Lord, help them a little, you know. And one day when I was praying, the Lord spoke to me and said, I don't like the way you're treating these people. Are y'all out there? And I said, Lord, I'm treating them the only way I know how. Come on, church. But I said, I'll do a little better when they come in. Hello, Al, how are you doing tonight? You know. And the Lord spoke to me again and said, I don't like the way you're treating these people. Brother Gerald, I began to cry. And I said, Lord, you know I'm ignorant. You know that I'm unlearned. And I said, will you tell me how you want me to treat these people? You know what that still small boy said to me? I know it wasn't the devil told me this. He said, I want you to treat them people just like I treated Judas. Did you know that I had been preaching for several years then, and I could not, in my mind, Sister Jerry, I could not get in my mind, how did Jesus treat Judas? I didn't know. So I went to the Word of God, Brother Gerald, and I began to read through the New Testament, and I went through it, and I found out that he knew before he ever chose Judas, he knew he would betray. But he treated him just like he did everybody else. He treated him so good that when Jesus finally said, one of you is a devil and one of you is going to betray me, nobody in the church turned and looked at Judas. Every one of them looked at Jesus and said, is it I? Is it I? So I'd done my best from that day on to treat them just like I treated everybody else. When they wanted to put them in office, I refused to let them go in office. Huh? I got Bible for that. I don't have to back off that none. I said, I got Bible for that. I don't have to back off that. I said, I've got Bible for that. I don't have to back off that none. Come on, church. But I treated them as good as I treated my deacons. Amen. Hear me tonight. Amen. We have got to be bottom line. We've got to be Christians when we leave here if we're approved of God. And you can't go to heaven with respect to persons in your heart. If you don't believe that, read the second chapter of James. Amen. Sweet Lamb of God, you're going to have the love of God burning in your heart as much for anybody else as everybody else. Amen. Come on now. I may not have said that right, but you understand this ending tonight. Because Jesus said, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. And if we're not careful, that'll get a hold of us. Let me go on. I know you want me to finish this up. But I'm feeling pretty good. Amen. The Bible says in the book of Galatians, I marvel that you're so soon removed from Him that called you into the grace of Christ and to another gospel which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. You notice that. Amen. There be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. Now then, who are these folks? Paul said, for we are not as many. Huh? We are not as many which corrupt the Word of God. Amen. And Jesus warned us that many false prophets should rise and deceive many. All those among the many are deceived. Amen. Among the many will be, to me, the most despicable creature on the face of the earth besides the devil. I said besides the devil. Amen. Are the men and the women amen, the false prophets who are teaching and preaching false doctrine. To me, that's despicable. To stand in God's pulpit and preach something false. Oh, God, help me, help me, help me, help me, help me, Lord. Men and women who teach less than the whole truth. You know, we got some preachers that they only got one thing they can preach on. That's right. If a certain minister gets up, I can tell you what he's going to preach on. Because he does it every time he gets up. Wherever he's at. It's always the same. Amen. God help us. Amen. And there's another group along with these false prophets. And that's those that add their two cents to the gospel. Amen, Brother Leon. Jesus said, but in vain do they worship me. Huh? Teaching for doctrine the commandments of men. Amen. Among the many, amen, will be every preacher that cut corners and let down the standards for the almighty dollar. Along with them, amen, will be these other preachers, amen, who are pushing their own thoughts and theories. Huh? And their ideas as new revelations from God. That's right. That's right. Amen. I'm having them tell me God has revealed to me that it's wrong to drink soda pop. I said, no, he didn't. He didn't tell you that. He didn't do that. He said, how you know he didn't? Because I said, the Bible said it's not in meat and drink. Huh? I don't want to get into a bunch of junk here tonight. Amen. But we got sweet lamb God. I come from the country, amen, where they don't believe it's right to wear a shiny belt buckle. So they all went down and they got black flat paint, amen, and painted their belt buckle, and one of them was telling me about what a revelation they'd had. And I looked down at his belt buckle, Sister Jerry, and I said, well, it looked like to me you lost part of your sanctification, your paint's coming off. Come on now. And then they told me it's wrong to wear red. Hello? And I said, all us redskins are out then. They can't be an Indian saved. I said, I don't believe God had anything against the color red. Amen. Oh, Lord, have mercy, boy. Well, I said, before you mention red, be sure to look around. And guess who's wearing red? Rocky's wife and my wife. Amen. And she give it to her, amen. Oh, God, help us. We've been undermined here, amen. Torpedoed right out of the saddle, amen. I'm here to tell you we got a bunch of junk going on in the house of God. They don't need to be. If they preach the Word of God, they've got all they can preach right here. I said they've got all that they can ever preach right here in the Word of the living God. When I pastored at Chelsea, Oklahoma, we had a cathedral like seeing like you got here, real tall in the middle. And I was over at the church. I'd been there 3 or 4 years. Amen. Brother Wyatt, I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I preached everything in your word to this church. I can't find nothing new to preach on. And the Lord said to me, look up at the ceiling. I was at the altar and I looked up. He said, you see that up there? And I seen a little something up there looked like a matchstick floating right up real close to the top of that building. I said, Lord, I see that, what looks like a matchstick. And he said, yeah. He said, that's as much as you preached here. Now look at the rest of the church and see what you ain't preached. Huh? Come on now. Come on now. Here it is Friday night and my mind's running through things that ought to be preaching. I got to quit. Amen. Mona said, don't preach everything, you know, on the last night. I can't hardly help it. I ain't going to be here tomorrow night. Amen. I guess I'll carry it down to Brother Doug's. Amen. God help us. Amen. There's enough right here to keep a man busy all of his life and then he's going to find something new. I said, then he's going to find... I don't need to make nothing up. God don't need no help. Amen. He done said it like He wanted it said. He said everything He wanted to say. Come on now. Tried? Had a man tell me once, he said, if you can, I told him I don't preach on nothing that I can't get out of the Bible. I believe that. I don't believe in preaching anything else. And I preach against TV, and he said, if you can preach on against TV out of the Bible, I'll give mine up. Brother Larry, I went and got my crudus down, and I couldn't find anywhere where it said, thou shalt not have a TV. I couldn't find it. And I looked, and I couldn't. In the weeks going by, and Saturday night, I'm getting desperate. I'm supposed to preach in the morning against TV. Amen. From the Bible. And I said, Lord, what am I going to do? And the Lord spoke to me and said, preach about the penny. And I said, Lord, you didn't understand me. TV. He said, penny. I said, yes, Lord. So I looked in my crudence and heard Jesus ask for a penny. So I said, if anybody knows about the penny, Jesus does. So I read over there, and he said, bring me a penny. And they brought him one. Jesus said, whose image and whose inscription is on this penny? And they said, Caesar's. He said, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's. And to let me know it had a spiritual connotation with it, and render to God the things that are God. So I got up the next morning and preached against TV on whose image is on it. Whose inscription's on it. What does it promote? You know what it promotes. Homosexuality and everything else under the sun except godliness. Sweet Lamb of God. And if you got one to watch Benny Hinn, you need to get saved real bad. I said you need to get saved real bad. In fact, one man told me, said the reason he had a TV was so he could watch Oral Roberts. I said, he's the very reason you ought to throw the thing at the door, amen? He's the dirtiest, filthiest, most ungodly thing on TV. Come on, church. Come on, church. The Bible's full of it. You can find it if you'll ask God. Dr. So-and-so may not have it, but Dr. Jesus has got it all. Among the many are those that are preaching their own thoughts, their own ideas, their own theories. Amen. And they're going to go to hell for it. I'm preaching too long. I know I am. You know the worst part about it is the Bible said that if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall in the ditch. Right. You let Benny Hinn lead you by the nose, and you're going to hell with him. And you don't look at me that way. He ain't going to heaven. He ain't going to heaven. Come on now. You know, I heard where he said that he was a little God. He said, I'm a little God. And I said, Lord, what does he want to be a little God for? Come on, church. You know why? At least that's what the Lord told me. He said, because the Bible says that God cannot be tempted with evil. And therefore, he reasons in his mind that if I'm a God, then whatever I want to do is all right because I'm a God. Because I can't be tempted with evil. Come on, church. Come on. You know, they asked him, they said, you taught this way back when you started. Now you're teaching this. It's the exact opposite of what you taught back there. He said, I'm a God, and the Bible says that God cannot lie. Therefore, what I said back there was the truth, but the truth has now changed, and now the truth is this. You know what? We got thousands of people that are following that idiot. Come on now. Come on now. Come on now. We got the Bible. We don't need Benny Hinn. We don't need Oral Roberts. We don't need Jimmy Swaggart. We don't need nothing but the Word of God. Sweet Lamb of God. Come on, church. Oh, God, help us. I better start. I'm going to go start the car. Oh, God, help us. Then the Bible says in the book of Philippians, brethren, be followers together of me and mark them which walk so as you have us for an ensample. For many, here they are again, many walk of whom I have told you often and now tell you even weeping that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. Oh, Lord. Jesus said, take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your heart be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness, cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares. Those in this group among the many will be caught unawares by that day. Even though they profess to be looking for it, they'll be caught unawares because they're caught up with the affairs and the cares of this life. Whose God is their belly? Oh, God, help us. I think that just means people that are self-centered. Huh? Come on, church. Amen. I thought as the Lord dealt with me to preach this, I said, Lord, I love them people. He said, preach it as hard as you can then. Preach it as hard as you can then if you love these people. So the Bible asks a question. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? I know we have to live and to take care of things. I understand that. I'm not stupid. Amen. I know that. But hey, church, if we neglect this great salvation, we're going to lose it. And I'm looking at a church world that I'm afraid has lost it. I haven't traveled much in the last year or two. You know my problem. I'm not going into all that junk. Amen. But I'm seeing now, amen, more than I have before, people, amen, who don't know what's happened to them. They don't know. Amen. They don't know where it went to. They don't understand why it's not like it used to be. And so we have them in the house of God, and they're substituting everything under the sun for the Spirit of God. Weenie roast and pie suppers and I don't know what all. I remember as a child, I'm glad I wasn't put off in some little place for children's church where I could draw with crayons and all that. I'm glad I was made to sit in the congregation of the living Christians. I'm glad that I was made to fear God and fear His house. I'm glad I was made to sit and listen. Amen. Listen, my daddy was different than a lot of people. When I went home, I had to know what the preacher preached on, where he took his text from. Huh? Are y'all listening to me? Amen. I'm glad for that now because I'm looking at a church world that comes to the house of God, and as soon as they walk out the back door, it's all gone from their mind. Among the many are those that are so caught up in this life that it takes precedent, amen, over things that happen in the house of God, to when they're in the house of God, they can't stop thinking about what they should have done today and what they're going to do tomorrow. And they sit right in the house of God while the Spirit of God is dealing with their souls and with other souls and flip through a songbook, read the Bible, or play with a baby, or cut fingernails, or run to the bathroom every 2 or 3 minutes. Come here, church. Amen. And while the Spirit of God is in the house of God, it's the only time you can get any help. Oh, Lord. Jesus asked a question once. He said, "Lovest thou me more than these?" Amen. Lovest thou me more than these? That's something you're going to have to answer for yourself. That's something you're going to have to answer for yourself. How much do you really love God? Amen. I told him last night about my youngest daughter. She'll just tell that again. It just come to me. Be all right. My youngest daughter decided to get married. She met a boy in college with ponytail and ear studs. Broke my heart when she brought him home. Showed him off. She wanted to marry him. Amen. She said, called me on the phone. She said, "Daddy, we're going to get married, and we want you to marry us." This is my youngest daughter, my songbird, a piano player, my daughter. "We want you to marry us." I said, "Bonnie Jean, no way in the world can I do that. No way. I can't do it. Can't do it." Well, she cried and I cried, but I said no. Well, she called me a few days later and she said, "Daddy, will you march me down the aisle and give me away?" I said, "Bonnie Jean, I can't do that. I didn't raise you to give you to something like that. I can't do that." She cried and I cried. You think it won't break your heart? And finally she called me and said, "Daddy, you are coming to my wedding, aren't you?" And I said, "Bonnie Jean, I won't be there. And you don't want me there." And she said, "Daddy, I do want you there." I said, "No, honey, you don't want me there." "Yes, I do." "No, you don't." Finally, she said, "Why not, Daddy? This is my baby daughter." I said, "Honey, when that preacher stands up and says, 'Can any man here show just cause why these two may not be joined in holy matrimony? Let him speak now or forever hold his peace.'" I said, "Do you think this holiness Cherokee Indian can sit there and not say a word?" Now I'm talking about Leon Buzzard. I ain't talking about you. "Lovest thou me more than these?" Did he say you'd have to leave family, sons, daughters, wives? Come on, church. Among the many are those who do not love Jesus more than these. No, I didn't go. I didn't go. I stayed home, Gerald. Matthew marched her down the aisle. And when the preacher asked, "Who giveth this woman to be wedded to this man?" Matthew said, "She's giving herself away." Huh? Well, everybody said, "Your daughter's going to hate you for this. She'll never speak to you again." Little you know. At the wedding reception, Brother Wyatt, her new mother-in-law, decided that she would roast the buzzard. She began on why I wouldn't come to the wedding. My daughter stood up in front of the whole congregation and said, "My daddy didn't come because he is a holiness preacher." And that's all that needed to be said. Come on, church. Somewhere down the road, you are going to have to make up your mind whether you love the Lord or not. Because among the many are those who never made up their mind that they love the Lord more than they love this world. I don't say you have to do what I do. I do what I have to do. I felt like that was my... I'll tell you how I felt about it. If I'd have went and done that, I'd have come home, I'd have took my Bible, I'd have put it up on the shelf, and you'd have never heard me again. I'd have quit. I'm not saying you have to adhere to what I adhere to. I'm not telling you that. This is me, Leon Buzzard. I'm going to heaven for him. Huh? I'm going to stand in judgment for Leon Buzzard. I ain't going to stand in judgment for you. You'll answer for your life. I have to answer for mine, and mine's plenty enough to answer for. Amen. I know I'm preaching too long tonight. I know I am. Jesus said, enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. Many there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate, narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. First, Jesus said, broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many, that's where the many are going, to destruction, and few that be that find it. Without a doubt, the many are going to outnumber the few by far. Amen, by far. Amen. But I'm determined in my heart, amen, that I'm going to find it. Many shall seek to enter in and shall not be able. I don't intend to be among the many. How about you, church? I know this has been different tonight. I know it has. But I felt the anointing of the Holy Ghost tonight. I felt Him here, and I feel like He's talking to His people. Amen? Brother Rocky, I feel like we haven't got too much longer to preach to the church. Huh? Somebody asked me a while back, said, Brother Buzzard, said, what's your main goal in preaching? What's your aim? And I thought about it, and I said, well, always a preacher wants to see the lost saved. But I said, if you ask me what my priorities lie in now, it's changed somewhat. And they said, how's that? I said, I'm just trying to keep what we got till Jesus gets here. I'm just trying to keep what we've got till Jesus comes. I can't look at this crowd tonight and call out anybody and say, I don't care whether they get to go or not. I can't do that, brother. What? Brother Carpenter, I can't do that. And yet it seems every time I go to church and come back, there's a face missing. Somebody that's quit and gone back. Many shall seek to enter in and shall not be able. And Jesus say, I never knew you. I never approved of you. Never approved. Well, I preached too long and don't know how to close it. I don't believe just because you come to the altar at the altar call that you're backslid and you're on your way to hell. But I believe wise people answer the altar call because they see a chance, amen, to move up a little closer. And the only time you can move up is when the water is stirred. Is that right? And I know we're not shouting and running, and I don't think that's the time for that, and that's the reason we're not. But I feel something here tonight, Brother Carpenter. I feel something here. I feel like that we're at a critical stage, amen, here in this race. I preached the other night to the church, we're on the home stretch. I really believe that. Amen. Home stretch is the distance between the last curve and the finish line. And I feel like we're in that home stretch tonight. So God is looking to you to make some critical decisions. If He's going to help you on the home stretch, then He wants to know whether you really mean business with Him tonight or not. So do you mean business with God or do you not? Amen. Because among the many are those that do not mean business with the Lord tonight. So while she's playing tonight, would you stand to your feet? And if you feel like you need to pray tonight, and I'm not saying you're backslid, the devil will tell you, what'll people think? I'll tell you what I think. There comes somebody wise that needs some help from God. Hey man, I'm going to be praying. I don't know about you, but I got Leon Buzzard on the altar right now, and I got to get over and pray for him. So how about you tonight? Do you want to be found among the many? Huh? Come on.
Yeah.